I'm Paul Foster for WNCW. Welcome to this week's More to the Story. It's being called one of the largest, most ambitious redevelopment plans in the history of Greenville. Things continue to move forward with these big plans as we talk today with Anna Mitchell, who serves as business reporter for the Greenville News. Anna, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Anna, explain to us what part of Greenville that the redevelopment involves, including how much property, and what do those plans call for so far?
If you can imagine, Greenville is really a Main Street city. You've got the north side and the south side of Main Street. It's about a mile long. So you have Main Street kind of splitting the city in half, and then you have the Reedy River kind of making up the bottom, the southern end of kind of what was traditionally considered downtown Greenville. Oh, and by the way, Main Street takes a bit of a turn and goes into what we call the West End. And that's really the area of the city that has developed very dramatically over the last decade and a half. And that's where the ballpark is, where the Greenville Drive plays. So that's the southwest side, if you will. On the southeast is where County Square is located. That's an old shopping mall. And before it was a shopping mall, it was Furman University. And it's literally on this ridge, if you will. The street it's on is called University Ridge. And it overlooks the Reedy River there. You know, there's a tree line and things like this, typically very hilly. But so what we're essentially talking about is the southeast quadrant of downtown. And it's a basically 1950s, 60s era shopping center that's been converted to government buildings. So not necessarily the most attractive. And it's a single story sprawling, like 260,000 square foot government building where they've done their daily business now for about 30 years. So that's where it's about 37 acres, really prime real estate. We consider it's right off of Main Street. And when this gets developed, we're talking about potentially a 10 to 20% growth, if you will. So what they're proposing is high rises on this ridge overlooking essentially the Reedy River. It's right next to the Governor's School for the Arts as well. So you'll have kind of a new skyline to the southeast, and it will be dramatic, maybe 7 or 8 football fields, something like that. It'll be a dramatic increase to downtown.
Well, how long did these discussions go back? What about the support? Has it been overwhelming? Has there maybe been some resistance? And I know spending always comes up when you're talking about something like this when it comes to, say, Greenville County Council and city leaders.
So I would say the most intense period of discussion, if you will, has been going on for about the last 18 months. It was released as a request for proposals in, I think it was like January 2017. The proposals went out and they came back in around April. Roca Point Partners was among about 5 serious proposals that a small subcommittee of Greenville County Council members considered. And that was happening over last summer. They really had decided who they wanted to go with. That these council members loved Roca Point's proposal. What they didn't like was the math. The financials really needed to get sorted out, and I can get into some of that. They had to hash out and negotiate since it started in about, I'm thinking July, August of 2017, and they were hashing that out until April, May of this year. So it was a good 9-10 month process of county officials, basically Joe Cornell, who's the administrator of Greenville County, working with the developers out of Atlanta to come up with a plan that made financial sense for this very financially conservative community. They did not want to spend any tax dollars on this project. Asking whether there was any pushback from the community or council members, no, really. I think we had one person come to a county council meeting and say, this is a very fancy project, you have high rises, but where is the voice of, for instance, lower income people, poorer people? They're not going to be benefiting from this. It's all very high-end apartments, office, retail, class A office space. And we do have a shortage, like most communities, of affordable housing. And there were some early discussions of perhaps having an affordable housing element to this giant project, but the financials were not working out. The county did ultimately share a lot of the financial details of this. And I can see where they're coming from, that they needed to go with market rates on this in order for it to be, as I said, a non-taxpayer funded project. So that's what it ultimately came down to.
That takes us on to another question. The county, and this was actually according to a story that you guys at the Greenville News had presented, I believe, earlier this year, that the county was not sharing much about the project, I understand, and that maybe you as news reporters were saying that they should be more forthcoming to the public.
So this subcommittee that was supposed to pick Roca Point Partners or whoever the developer was going to be, they last met in about August of 2017, and they never met again. And as you can imagine, we expect that the selection of a developer to be a rather public process. And ultimately, there was a nodding of heads, is how it was described to us, that they didn't take an official vote, that everyone just sort of agreed during one of these closed door meetings that it would be Roca Point. Now, county officials have said that it wasn't a vote, but we felt like the transparency really wasn't there. And we pushed on that, pressed that point. And as a result, to their credit, they shared with us a lot of the financial detail, how this deal developed, why Roca Point was ultimately the best choice. I would say we as a newsroom, we bought into it. We said, yes, we understand the logic here, if that makes sense. Transparency does work. People can be persuaded. It's just when you aren't hearing those details that you get concerned. What happened was the subcommittee got a lot of the financial detail, but the county as a whole, county council, which is a 12-member board, was apparently only given a 10 or 12-page PowerPoint. And so in one of my stories, I said they're basing a billion-dollar project on a 12-page PowerPoint, which sounds kind of snarky. That's all we got, and that's all we told the rest of the council was getting. I think when they heard those words, they saw them in print. They came around and shared with us what the deal was. And essentially, that deal is the property, the 30-plus, it's basically 37 acres, is worth about $30 to $35 million right now, as is. The building that's current building is removed, and it's basically development ready. They believe that the land sales on that will actually come to about $100 million. That is with all the improvements to sidewalks, roads, prep the site. It will essentially triple in value, and that's where the county will retain 60% of that, and that will pay for a new county council government building, a $60 million building.
Any kind of timetable about a final decision being made and how long down the road for this big of a project to be completed?
The first part of this project will be the new county government building, that $60 million building I referenced, and it will, under the current plan, be designed by the same outfit that did the Apple building, that big glass structure. It's a set of London architects. It's this gorgeous thing that they have planned for Greenville County. That, from what I'm told, they will break ground and get going on that within the next 12 to 18 months. So there'll be a couple of buildings that are being leased, one by a tire company, also some state agencies. Those buildings will be torn down first because county needs a place to do business. So the very first building to go up will be that county government building.
Redevelopment plans for Greenville. Anna Mitchell, business reporter with the Greenville News. Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure.
More to the story is also available as a podcast on our website, WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.